Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, October 22nd, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 143, the third paragraph. To return to the subject matter of this book, we'll be reading through four paragraphs, ending with, by the use of the book alone, and we'll be commenting on all four paragraphs. Today's readers are Nancy T. for the 12 Steps, Reggie O. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Leslie M., Kathy G., and Ginger C. The share ID for yesterday's special edition, The Peculiar Mental Twist, Sunday, October 21st, 2018, is 12,079. That's 12,079. And due to some challenging glitches on the live meeting yesterday, that special edition has been re-recorded without interruptions. And again, that number is 12,079. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the share ID is 12,080, 12,080. Our newcomer greeter for today is Melanie C. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nancy T. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Nancy T., recovered compulsive overeater in Lewiston, Idaho. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy. And I'll now ask Reggie O. to read the 12 traditions. Reggie, star one.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen. Yeah, good morning. This is Reggie O. Very gratefully here this morning in Southern California. And here are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively overeating. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Reggie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. And someone's unmuted, so if you could press star 1 to mute, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 143, the third paragraph, to return to the subject matter of this book. We'll be reading through 4 paragraphs, ending with by the use of the book alone, and we'll be commenting on all 4 paragraphs. And Leslie M., if you could begin reading, please.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathleen O., for your service. This is Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. To return to the subject matter of this book, it contains full suggestion by which the employee may solve his problem. To you, some of the ideas which it contains are novel. Perhaps you are not quite in sympathy with the approach we suggest. By no means do we offer as a last word on this subject, but so far as we're concerned, it has worked with us. After all, are you not looking for results rather than for methods? Whether your employee likes it or not, he will learn the grim truth about alcoholism. That won't hurt him a bit, even though he does not go for this remedy. We suggest you draw the book to the attention of the doctor who is to attend your patient during treatment. If the book is read the moment the patient is able, while acutely depressed, realization of his condition may come to him. We hope the doctor will tell the patient the truth about his condition, whatever that happens to be. When the man is presented with this volume, it is best that no one tell him he must abide by his suggestions. The man must decide for himself. You are betting, of course, that your changed attitude plus the contents of this book will turn the trick. In some cases it will, and in others it may not. But we think that if you persevere, the percentage of successes will gratify you. As our work spreads and our numbers increase, we hope your employees may be put in personal contact with some of us. Meanwhile, we are sure a great deal can be accomplished by the use of the book alone. And hi, I'm Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And a couple of things really hit me in this reading. And the first one was to use some of the ideas which it contains are novel. And for me, the reason that one, talks to me is because I've been in OA for 28 years. And, I have to say that, I worked it to the best of my ability, I thought. Before that, I had never worked through the Big Book, but I found that for me, the novel ideas were, half a measure availed us nothing. I thought at least if I worked it halfway, that I would get at least half of what I was, what I heard about, and that if I didn't totally surrender and if I weren't totally powerless, I thought that I was, you know, but this time around I had to, you know, not only admit that I was powerless over the food, I had also admit that I've been powerless over my thinking. And that's where the biggest part of my disease lies, is in my thinking. You know, it says, by no means do we offer it as the last word on this subject, but so far as we're concerned, it has worked with us. And now that this has worked with me, you know, I would like to go to all my face-to-face meetings and just, you know, tell everybody else what to do. But that's where I found that I'm powerless over my thinking. I'm powerless over my thinking and thinking that I know what's best for myself, or that I know what's best for others. I don't know how anyone else is going to recover from this disease. I know that I can share my experience, strength, and hope with them, honestly, and that I can tell them what's worked for me. But it says in the next paragraph, it says, the man must decide for himself. And I know that until I was ready, that there wasn't anything anyone could say to me that would have made me do anything differently. You know, and I'm really grateful, you know, that I had this process. I'm certainly grateful for the recovery, but I needed every single moment of my process in order to get to this recovery. And so now I can look back and be, you know, eternally grateful even for that, you know. And in the last paragraph here, it says, in some cases it will, and in others it may not. Talking about, you know, that this may work for other people or not, you know, and I have to take that into my sponsoring and remember that, you know, at this point, you know, all I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope honestly. I can tell others what has worked for me, but if they're not ready, willing, or able at this moment in their life, you know, it's okay, because all I have to do is try and carry the message. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie M. And again, we're on page 143, the third paragraph, to return to the subject matter of this book, reading through four paragraphs, ending with, by the use of the book alone. And who else would like to share on these four paragraphs?
Lisa J.R.
It's Andy.
Okay, I got Lisa J.R. and who was after her?
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Freya H.
Great. Suzanne B.
Lane C.
Lane C.
Robin D.
Robin D. Okay, let me stop there. There's a couple names I'm not certain of, but I've got the sound to them. Okay, I have Lisa J.R., Wendy B., sounded like Greya H., but I know that's not right, but you can correct me. Suzanne B., I don't think it's Lane C., but correct me on that one too, and Robin D. So let's start with Lisa J.R., followed by Wendy B.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, and thank you, Kathleen, for your dedicated service. Lisa J.R. here, gratefully recovered from Baltimore, Maryland. I love this C.S. Lewis quote, and I'm going to paraphrase it, you know, that God sometimes speaks to us in the pleasure in a whisper, and he shouts to us in the pain. And, you know, the pain is a megaphone to a deaf world. And I can't make anyone recover in this program. I can't tell them that working the big book is the only way. Because out of experience, out of waffling around in the rooms of OA for a couple of years before I stumbled upon a big book meeting, I treated it all like a cafeteria, and, you know, it just didn't work. And I was seeing people within those rooms get recovered and find peace. So obviously it worked for some people, those different factions, so to speak, of Overeaters Anonymous. They work for people, just didn't work for me. I had, you know, a disease of the mind. I really did. Greed, wanting more, constantly wanting more was my problem. It was more, you know, I had to go with this approach. It was the only thing I could do. And it did save my life. And when I did finally surrender and throw the white flag up and started to work the steps, did I ever get any ease, any recovery at all? So, yeah, I can take a horse to water, but I can't make him drink. And, you know, that's why it's so vitally important for somebody to realize, you know, to make it plain that this is a spiritual, if you have this spiritual problem, that this may be what you need to recover. And it's a choice, it's purely a matter of choice for that person. And, you know, I know that it's a program of attraction. I can only share my experience, strength, and hope. I can't, and put a lantern over the text, as Leia says. You know, hold that lantern over the text. If they don't want it, you know, it's up to them. And it's just, I have no power. I have no power over the food, and I have no power over people. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. Wendy B., you're up next, followed by Gray H. Go ahead, Wendy.
Hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, in the line where it says, when the man is presented with this volume, it's best that no one tell him. He must decide alone, you know, by it. How does it say? Tell him. He must abide by its suggestions. The man must decide for himself. So when I first came back into the rooms of OA, I tried to convince my husband, you know, in joining me, and eating healthy, you know, and weight loss and exercise and taking better care of his body. And it was just frustrating. You know, he didn't want to, you know. And one day when I was out hiking by myself, I realized how much effort it takes to change sedentary habits, you know, and how much work and self-motivation, you know, it took in me, you know. And I realized it's not something I can demand or ask of someone else. You know, the desire to change has to come from within them, to motivate them enough to do the necessary work, you know. And it was just like a real God eye-opening experience for me to realize that, you know, that I can't just expect him to go along with it, you know. And so I stopped talking to him about it, you know, after that. And I recognized the wisdom in these words, you know, that you can't tell an addict what to do, you know, their automatic response is resistance, you know. And I read a quote that says, one has to recognize their own need to change. Forced change rarely works over the long haul. Others preaching on a daily basis does not bring any change. Forced change only breeds resentments. And that's exactly what happened. And so now my husband, because I approached it wrong, you know, when I was just in the rooms, you know, working it as a diet and stuff before I came into Vision, and I did try to force him. I talked too much about it. I pressured him, and now he still has that initial resistance, you know, and it's taking a long time. He's a little bit interested now in what I'm doing and seeing the results and how I'm, you know, year after year, I'm still doing it. And so, you know, it's gradually showing a little bit of interest, and that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy. And is it Gray H? Up next, followed by Suzanne B.
Hi, it's Gray with an F.
How do you spell it?
With F-R-E-Y-A.
Okay, thank you.
All right, yes, Gray H in Colorado. And I have a noisy kid in the background, so I'll just keep it brief, but I just want to speak up because I so appreciate all the humility in this book. You know, it reminds me of, you know, we have no monopoly on God. We know only a little, you know, just saying that, you know, all we know is that it's worked for us. And that's really all that matters. And that is like the no pressure approach to sharing this with others is I'm not ever saying you have to do this, you have to do it this way. And like was referenced by other people, that there are, you know, other things maybe do work for other people, and that's totally okay, and it's not up to me. You know, like, my job is just to share what works for me, and to maintain an open mind. So I just feel my shoulders drop. It's like, oh, I don't have to fix the world, you know, which is so much of how I used to approach life. So I just get to do whatever God has me, you know, has me doing today, which I don't have to know what that is, but I do get to trust that God's going to give me the inspiration at the right time. You know, I don't have to have a master plan. So I'm sure I was going to say more, but I'm going to leave it at that. Thanks for letting me share.
Sorry, I was not unmuted. Thank you for H. Suzanne B., you're up next, followed by Lane C.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. And in employers, gives me, or two employers, gives me a lot of information that I can use in the context of an employer or in the context of a sponsor. And a sponsor and an employer are both figures for me that I'm taking direction from. I can start relearning and healing if I'm able to follow directions. And I can follow directions for my health, for abstinence, and I can follow directions to generalize into my work situation. And that can also be really healing for me. We know that in 12-step programs, there are lots of them for food. And we also know that there's a lot of diet programs, there's a lot of books, there's a lot of workshops. And recovery programs don't have the market on any kind of addiction. The way that I work my program, that too is unique. If I'm working the steps through the big book, there are lots of ways to do that too. The key for me was that I was drawn to the recovery programs. They worked for me because I've experienced finding a spiritual power and having something new to rely on other than myself. And that for me is the big difference. Pass.
Thank you, Suzanne. And Lane C, you're up next, followed by Robin D. Do I have your name right?
Hello, this is Lane C., gratefully recovered in Rochester, New York, in upstate New York. I really love that we read through these chapters, that we read Two Wives and Two Employers, because my first reading through the big book, I didn't read these chapters. So this is just illuminating for me some new things. I feel like a lot of what's written here can speak to those of us who have been in the program for a while and also can speak to the newcomer. You know, I love this piece. Whether your employee likes it or not, he will learn the grim truth about alcoholism. That won't hurt him a bit, even though he does not go for this remedy. So, you know, when I first came into this program and started to learn about compulsive overeating, I certainly had some fears around learning the grim truth about what compulsive overeating was like. I mean, it was even enough to hear other people in the room identifying as compulsive overeaters and identifying as recovered or recovering. To me, just even to name it was a lot. And so, you know, I appreciate that we have this gift of learning sort of the grim truth about our disease and the reassurance that, like, for us, granted, it's at times it can be costly, but it doesn't hurt, and that we can only grow from here. I also love, you know, you are betting, of course, that your changed attitude plus the contents of this book will turn the trick. In some cases it will, in others it may not. I, too, just appreciate the ways that helps anyone who's around us, sponsors, employers, family members, whomever, to know that my recovery does not depend upon the changed attitudes of those around me. And that for those around me, they don't need to necessarily change their attitudes for me to be able to recover and to build a relationship with God. I mean, I think as a compulsive overeater who was in the disease, there were so many times when I used the actions of others as my excuse
to eat and to binge and to take part in some unhealthy eating behaviors. So this, you know, this is a really helpful reminder. And also, you know, I mean, this program is about our relationship with a higher power, our relationship with the God of our understanding, and not about our relationship with others. And so those times when I've been restless, irritable, and discontent and want to blame some of my food behaviors on other people, this is a really good reminder that, like, that's not what this is about. This is not about, you know, what my sponsor said to me and offered, you know, when my sponsor offered me a challenging word, well, now, you know, I'm going to turn around and eat. That's not what this is about. I think, you know, as our work spreads and our numbers increase, we hope your employees may be put in personal contact with some of us. How saving is that personal contact? To be in touch with other folks who have recovered and to be in touch with other folks in this program. So with that, I will pass. Very grateful for this meeting today. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine C. And Robin D., you're up next. And after Robin, we'll take some more names. We're on page 143, the third paragraph, to return to the subject matter of this book, reading through four paragraphs, ending with by the use of the book alone. We're commenting on all four paragraphs, and we'll take some names in just a minute after Robin D. shares. So go ahead, Robin D.
Thank you. This is Robin P., like Palmer.
P.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Thanks, Robin.
It's fine. Don't worry. In Los Angeles, and thank you so much for your service and everyone you've shared. I'm so grateful to be on the meeting. You know, I am completely powerless over other people, places, and things. And, you know, I just, like, no one, I mean, people watched me for years and just felt so powerless over my food addiction and my behaviors and just tried everything they could think of and nothing worked. And I tried everything I could think of, and nothing worked. And so I had the gift of desperation. And, you know, I was willing to go to any length to recover. And, you know, there are other areas in my life that comes up with, and I watched it in other people's lives and other areas. And it's like we all get to get the gift of desperation in whatever we need to work through, you know. And we're going through a very intense moving situation right now, and you just get to keep you one step at a time. And we're so powerless over what people are doing, and we're just keep praying. And the other thing that I know is that it's about my relationship with God, and they all have their higher power. I have my higher power, and it's about me connecting honestly, open-mindedly, and willingly with my higher power and asking God to help me and to help them and let God do the work. I am, you know, I can be a messenger, but I am not the higher power for them, nor should I ever be. And so, you know, the same when I sponsor people, I am not their higher power. And so I just get to be a conduit. And, you know, we're going through something so intense, it's beyond belief. And I just know that God is in charge. And I just get to keep focusing on God and trusting God, and the same with everybody else's lives, you know. And I'm just really grateful to be on this meeting. God bless everybody in your recoveries. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. And again, page 143, third paragraph, to return to the subject matter of this book, reading through four paragraphs, ending with by the use of the book alone. And who else would like to share on these four paragraphs?
Kathy G.
Kathy G.
Rebecca T.
Rebecca T.
Deborah G.
Deborah D.
Ramona A.
Ramona A, was it?
Okay. Ramona A.
Ramona A. Gotcha. And who was after Ramona?
Marian Riska H.
Marian Riska. Anyone else? Okay, we'll stop there. So Kathy G, Rebecca T, Deborah D, Ramona A, and Miriam Rifka H. So Kathy G, go ahead.
Thanks, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. It's Kathy G., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. And the wisdom of this big book never fails to amaze me. It's just so incredible that all of this depth and weight was just written in such a beautiful teaching manual, really, for all of us in so many conditions. Like I can read to employers and just apply the wisdom to different aspects of my life. I love it when it said, as people have beautifully shared this morning, that no one can tell an alcoholic that he must abide by its suggestions. The man must decide for himself, and that's because we are stubborn as addicts and we are headstrong. I just know that I was, and it was just like sometimes the people closest to me and the people that I had the most valuable, important relationships with were the absolute ones that I would not listen to for whatever strange reason. I had to decide this for myself when I finally got the gift of desperation. And it says, and even if you do present this, in some cases it's going to work, in others it may not, but if you do persevere, the percentage of successes will gratify you. And that speaks to me as both a sponsor and a mother, to just remember that if I persevere, really in my own recovery, because I'm already seeing it all over my own family, I really don't talk about it very much at all. I'm sure it comes out in a sentence here and there or there because it's such a part of my life, and they know that. But I'm not preaching about it. I'm just sharing just how in awe I am of how some of these things have changed in my life once in a while. And I love this at the bottom of 144 where it says, if he feels free to discuss his problems with you. I love that because I'm all about creating a culture of honor wherever we are. And if we are to honor people, I have found typically they will honor us. If they don't, we may have to establish some boundaries and consider releasing the relationship. But I really find that when we show honor and understanding, people will open up to us and be willing to share and even ask for advice. My daughter just asked me for something, my 25-year-old, that just really startled me the other day. And I thought, wow, that's a beautiful thing. So yet again, really grateful to be here with all of you today and just so grateful for the hope that we have. So thanks for listening. That's it.
Thank you, Kathy G. And Rebecca T., you are up next, followed by Deborah D.
Good morning, everybody. It's Rebecca T. from Central California, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. So beautiful to hear all your shares. HP has an awesome way of speaking through all of you to me. I've been telling people that I'm working the steps on my marriage now. And the passages in the book today are reminding me, it helping to remind me that, it's not going to be my way or the way I think things should be or the way I think things should go. But also to be patient and to be kind and to remember, when I'm thinking to myself, well, yeah, he's not doing this yet, or, oh, yes, this is so like the past, or, pretty much getting into nitpicky judgment, self-pity. I need to, when I notice myself thinking that, I've reminded myself I need to say, yeah, but how many of those times was I doing those kind of behaviors? How many times, or when was the last moment that I did something that, I said I wasn't going to do again and I've done it? Or how many times, I was in my addiction and gaining weight and losing weight and gaining weight and losing weight. And so, I just need to bring it back to me and then bring it back to my higher power and stop pointing fingers because I've kind of been going in and out of that, not continuously holding my higher power close.
holding those values close and just with constant daily reminders of thy will, not mine, thy will, not mine. So that's what I'm practicing today. And definitely half measures do not avail for me. And with that, I'll keep coming back. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you, Rebecca T. Deborah D., you are up next, followed by Ramona A.
Hi, everybody. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you all for sharing. And thank you so much for your lead this morning. I'm just so grateful for this program and to know that I don't have to do this alone and that I have other people in my life that understand what I'm talking about and support me and love me. And because a lot of people out there don't understand. And recently I was with a sponsee that I had in the program, and she decided that she didn't want to do this anymore. And, you know, I hadn't seen her for a while, and we met on Friday for lunch. What was really nice was we didn't have to talk about food or get into anything as far as sponsor, sponsee, or tell her anything about the program. All we had to do was just enjoy each other's company and have a nice lunch. And that was nice because I know that thought crossed my mind when I was with her, but I didn't have to say anything, you know. And that's what my sponsor reminds me is to wait for the question. You know, if I'm asked, then I can share. But if not, I don't have to say anything. And I know myself for a long time, I just sat in the rooms and listened and heard recovery and wasn't sure. And it wasn't until something personal in my life where I was pre-diabetic tested did I finally surrender. So I think the surrender happens for different people at different times. And if I can remember that in the forefront of my mind, then the world is a better place because I'm in it, because I'm not bugging them about it. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. Ramona A., you're up next, followed by Miriam Rifka H.
Thank you. This is Ramona A. in Vermont. And I have to laugh at myself sometimes, especially when I hear these paragraphs, because it seems like my relationship of sponsor to sponsees was often bringing out my character defects. The first being that I wanted to be nice. I wanted, you know, to leave everyone to do, you know, kind of what they wanted, and enabling them then not to recover. Once I discovered that, then I said, well, I have to go the other way. You know, that idea of what people have said, well, are you going to not say things and so your sponsee will die in the program? And so I became very much the director. You know, this is what you have to do, and this is et cetera, et cetera. And finally, as I recovered more, got to the point of saying, this is my experience, you know, this, if you don't do it, I'm not going to say you have to do it, you know, and sometimes having to say that, it's, you know, maybe I can help you find a different sponsor, but it's just, it's my experience that you're not going to recover with this, you're not going to get what you really want out of the program. And to be honest, and that's all I can do now is just to be honest and to try to point the person in the right direction and try to work with the person as they are ready and willing to go. And if they are working at it, if they do want it and are making the effort, whether it's on my schedule or not, you know, that's okay. I will work with them. So I guess I had thought of what I wanted to say before, you know, when the topic came up, and then I forgot a lot of it, but I guess that's about it, you know. It's the growth. As I grew in recovery, I grew as a sponsor also, and I'm sure there's a lot more growth waiting out there for me. So thank you, everyone, for your service, and I pass.
Thank you, Ramona A. Miriam Rifka, you're up next, and after Miriam Rifka, we will take a few more names. So go ahead, Miriam Rifka.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. This is Miriam Rifka H. in New Jersey. I wanted to jump in here and speak with all of you. I'm listening to all of your shares, and it's the overarching theme that I'm reading between the lines in the paragraph is just that we need to do our part, and the rest is in the hands of our higher power. You know, so many times they're saying in these different ways, you know, if the book is read the moment the patient is able, we hope the doctor will tell them the truth. In other words, the concept that I'm getting from here is something, a very valuable lesson that I've learned doing these 12 steps, that it's not all in my control. I don't have the power to make sure someone recovers or, you know, to make sure someone sees the light or make sure they understand my point of view. I was very frustrated when I first came here, and I would try to explain to people about my program, and they would kind of roll their eyes and say, like, come on, why can't you just eat like other people, or, you know, whatever it is that used to annoy me to no end because they weren't understanding me, darn it, you know, and now it's just like I need to just do my part. And if there is a family member or a friend or someone at work who asks me about what I do, I will share as much information as they want to know. I could lead them to water, but I can't make them drink. And I trust that they have a higher power who takes care of them, and that if and when the time is right for them, they'll either come to program and be successful, or they will find another route. Because, right, like others have keep on saying, I don't think that I have a monopoly over the answer. I know that this has been the answer for me, but I don't know what's good for another person. And that's also, that point is also something I have to constantly remind myself, is that I don't know what's good for me most of the time, or maybe even all of the time. So how can I possibly know what's good for another person? And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Miriam Rifka. Okay, we have time for a few more shares. Who else would like to share on these paragraphs?
Giselle in New Jersey.
Okay, I heard who from New Jersey?
Deborah or Devora, New Jersey.
Devora from New
Melanie
Jersey.
Melanie H., okay. California.
Margaret D., Georgia.
Okay, let's stop there. Melanie D., was it?
Melanie H. from California.
Melanie H., and who was after Melanie H.?
Margaret D. from Georgia.
Margaret, okay. Okay, go ahead, Devora.
Yes, so for me it's important to keep the memory green, the gift of desperation. I had just stopped taking amphetamines, and my husband was a doctor. He didn't know what I was doing, but I was so frightened the heavy lady would come out and he would leave me. He never gave me cause to think he would. So I had gained 50 pounds. I had the gift of desperation. And whatever was said at the meeting, and I took a sponsor, and she was a Weight Watcher lecturer, but she felt she couldn't handle all the food given out on Weight Watchers. Well, one Saturday night, I had binged heavily on sugar. I remember feeling sort of fearful, having expectations, perhaps scared I wasn't going to get what I thought I needed in my life. I didn't turn to higher power. So I was driving in the Bronx, and I was going slowly. My reflexes were so slow, and I was under a subway, a train track, and there was an elderly man, and he looked to the right. He was waiting to cross. He did look to the right, and I figured, oh, my gosh, he's going to look to the left, and I was going slowly. He did not look to the left, and I sideswiped him. He did fall. We were about five blocks from Montefiore Hospital in the Bronx. I put him in my car, took him to the hospital. All the while, he kept saying, I survived the Holocaust and I survived this. And this was me because I had binged heavily on sugars. So, okay, so I will pass. I let other shares. And I have to keep the memory green. And even though sometimes I'm a senior now, my husband passed away 6 years ago. But, you know, I have to remember where I come from and I have to pass it on whether they ask or not. I could do it with gentle kindness. If they accept it, fine. If not, they have another pass. Another pass. Okay, I do pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Devorah from New Jersey. And Melanie H., you're up next, followed by Margaret D. Go ahead, Melanie. Melanie H., can you star one to unmute, please?
Can I be heard?
Yes.
Great. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for letting me share. When I first came into program, there was like the eve before I first came in, and I had called a number that was like a kind of like they have counselors that are available on the phone. That is a service that's provided by my work. And I remember talking to the person and them saying that I needed to go to a nutritionist and I just needed to know how to eat healthy. And I was thinking, that's not it. I already know how to eat healthy. I'm just, it's an addiction. It's something else. And I remember just being told all these things that I was supposed to do or had to do. And I had such resistance to that. And then just, you know, thankfully there's a higher power out there that called me to like to Googling overeating and Anonymous, and somehow I ended up finding the Overeaters Anonymous page with all the call and phone number options. And you know, it was just it was having that service out there and me being able to be attracted to it and come to it of my own volition. And had that person on the line maybe told me that I had to go to Overeaters Anonymous, perhaps I would have resisted that. And it was something about it just being of one's own and being attracted through the program and through a higher power to come into that program. The other thing that these passages made me think of was the same thing for my sponsees. And you know, there's sometimes you'll have a sponsee that just isn't ready, and that is okay. They haven't yet hit that point. So being able to be honest with them about that and know that they themselves have to also really be at that point where they're ready to work all of those steps. And it's okay if they're not, and just communicating that to them and wishing them the best and hoping that they will be back when they're truly ready. Melanie in San Francisco, thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Melanie. And Margaret D., you will be our last share, and if you could keep it to about 2 minutes, please.
This is Margaret. D., may I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Oh, way cool. Here we go, under 2 minutes. First of all, thank you for all of your services. And everybody that has done service, and welcome to the newcomers. Many years ago, I was talking to my sponsor. I was fairly new in program. I'd only been in program like maybe 5 or 6 years. And I was complaining really bitterly about what another person in program was doing. And the person that I was complaining about was like, had only maybe a year or 2 years. And he looked at me. He was such a wonderful guy. He really was. But anyway, so he looked at me and he said, Margaret, do you remember what you were like when you were in program for 1 or 2 years? And that just stopped me in my tracks. It was like, oh my God, I would not have even listened. I mean, I was just an incorrigible basket case that knew everything and went back and forth from knowing everything to being, you know, the worst person on earth. And so what I learned from that, first of all, was that God puts, for me, just for me, God puts me in these situations, not so somebody else can learn, but so that I can learn. And I heard a speaker say one time that God loves us exactly the way we are, but he loves us so much that he doesn't want us to stay exactly the way we are. And so whenever I'm finding somebody's not learning fast enough, they're not recovering fast enough, they're not doing what I want, the problem is always in my growth. It doesn't have anything at all to do with somebody else. Love you all. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you for keeping that under 2 minutes. Okay. Thank you, everyone who shared this morning. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kathy G. please read A Vision for You?
Yes, thank you, Kathleen. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. Asking in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.